Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
I welcome you to church. Today you are not welcoming so many people, just welcome your neighbor. Amen. Welcome your neighbor. Tell them welcome to church. Please give them a smile. We are in the house of the Lord. All your problems the Lord has already taken care of, so don't worry. Amen. Don't transfer your issues to your neighbor yet. Amen. He took your infirmities to the cross. And when he took them to the cross, he says, it is finished. So no more grumbling. I want happy faces in the church. Amen. Please, when you're smiling, you always give us hope when we're looking at you. So may the Lord also smile upon you as you're smiling upon your neighbor. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7b. This morning, we are praying about 2 things. We are asking the Father for the grace for us to finish so that we may finish well. In that manner, he may give us rest. Amen. So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7b. Now, because they can't cut it, we will just go to the speed where I'm going to do it. Finishing strong. Now, if we are to follow the words in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7b, from different versions, you would see that the NIV version is talking about that. So he who has an ear in New King James Version says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the time that John was being directed to write 7 letters to the 7 churches. This is what the Lord is actually directing to say. And John is beginning to say, he's continuing to say that whosoever has got an ear, not this physical, but the spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Amen. And this is my prayer to you, that as we'll be praying this morning, as we'll be standing before the Father, I pray that he will open your spiritual ears and also your physical ears, that you will hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. He says, the verse that we're interested in, 7b, he says, to him who overcomes, amen, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, when I was trying to read scripture, relating to what Revelation is saying, finishing strong would also mean that you have overcome. Amen? You have overcome. And that's what the King James Version is also saying, that to him who overcomes, I think that's the one they're using. To him who overcomes. The NIV version, the NIV says, to him who is victorious. So it also means that you are victorious. You can't say I finished strong and you're not victorious. The Message Bible, I like it. It says, to him who conquers. So it also means to conquer. Amen. But if we go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says that, do you not know that those who run in a race, all of them, they run. But one receives the prize. Amen. Therefore, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. So it means if you have finished strong, you have obtained. We had the Legion of Five Olympic Games happening in our city. I want to challenge you there as a country. You feel the importance of communication to you. Amen. No matter what you're thinking right now, because I know what you're thinking. But we fielded every candidate with an intention to win. Amen. I know. I know what you're thinking. But the Lord is God. So he says every candidate that was trying to compete in the Legion of Five Games was competing with an intention to what? To obtain the prize. To get a gold medal. Whatever happens, you know whatever happened.
But so Paul says, as you're doing that, you should run and compete with an intention to obtain the prize. So maybe we can discuss about the intention.
We can't, but that's the theme for our sermon. Amen.
So Paul is warning us that all of us might be in a race, but as we are in the race, we shouldn't go in the race aimlessly. We should go in the race with an intention to obtain the prize. It's when you would say, I have finished strong. I have finished well. It's easy to start, huh?
Everybody starts. And to sustain requires discipline. Discipline throughout January, February, until now.
So that's what Paul is saying, that for us to say you have finished well and you have finished strong, that's why they would give the gold medal to only one winner.
Amen.
And others would get bronze, others would get silver, others would get nothing.
And they'll go home, they still compete. But their intention.
In 2 Timothy 4, verse number 8, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses today as we pray. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, Paul says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. This is Paul telling Timothy and speaking to us as well. On that day, and not only to me, but also to all of us who have loved his appearance.
Amen.
So it also means that we need to accomplish, we need to finish all that God has ordained us to do and to accomplish.
Upon every life in here and every other individual, the Lord has put and placed an assignment, a special assignment.
And that assignment has got to be accomplished. It has got to be finished. It has got to be done. So whether you're not doing it, whether you are doing it, but God is expecting you to do what he said you should do. That's why on that final day, on the judgment day, he will be taking you to account, basing on what he had said upon you to do. And Paul is saying, on that day, for me, I am actually excited because there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. And for everybody who actually ran their race and accomplished and did what they were supposed to do.
Can I hear an amen?
It also means to endure, to be faithful to the end. The same 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you go to verse number 5, up there, Paul says, But you be watchful in all things. And you've got to endure afflictions to do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry. Did you hear that? He says, you've got to be watchful in all things you do. You need to watch carefully. And you need to endure affliction. Now, when Paul is talking about us enduring affliction, what he's actually trying to remind us is that in this journey, we are going to face different kinds of trials, tribulations, and afflictions. But we need to endure. In other words, he's agreeing what Isaiah said, is that in fire we shall go through fire, or in water we shall go through water. But we have got to endure. Amen? We have got to endure and keep the faith until the last day. And it says you've got to do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry.
Every day as you live, I already told you that God has put an assignment upon each one of us. Actually, that's the chapter of the gospel. Jesus is signing off and says, therefore, go.
He's sending each one of us, say, go, to do the work of an evangelist and bring many to Christ. And so Paul says, you've got to endure. So at the end of the finishing line, as we say, you're finished, Phyllis, you've got to show traits of endurance. You've got to endure. You've got to be faithful to your calling. In Revelation chapter 3, talking about the same point, verse number 10, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. So just go to the end. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, says, Because you have kept my command to persevere. Hello? This is Jesus, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall surely come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. So it means we shall go through trials, but we have got a job to do. We have got to persevere. We have got to endure. Whatever issues we are going through, whatever tribulations and trials we are going through, our mandate is for us to endure. Our mandate is for us to persevere. Because there are some things that the Lord will permit in our lives that we surely must. And we need to ask for the grace of God to abound in our lives so that we can endure, so that we can pass through the water, so that we can pass through the fire. Because you're not the first one to go through the fire. You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're not the first one to be thrown in the lion's den. In fact, you've never been thrown in the lion's den. I have never been thrown in the lion's den. Amen. Maybe you'd say the experience I went through was like the lion's den. But there are brothers who were actually thrown in the lion's den. In the fire. No one happened. God says, Genesis, God says, in an angel. So John is saying to anyone who perseveres, to anyone who endures until the last day, that one, the crown of righteousness is worth it. Matthew 24 verse 13. What it means to finish strong. Jesus is saying, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. So you might have started well, but you've got to keep that momentum to the very end. Matthew 24, the media team is looking at me. No, but they have put the verse there. Verse 13. You might have started, but you need to make sure you persevere. You keep on keeping on until the last day. And it says, to anyone who endures, that one shall be saved. So finishing strong, as we have seen in these three verses, also means that we need to endure. We need to persevere. We need to persevere. Matthew 25, verse 20 says, so he who had received, this was the verse that Pastor Adab was preaching last Sunday. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. Saying, Lord, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides what you gave. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So finishing strong means also to receive the master's commendation. That the master will approve of you. No wonder Jesus says that there will be some people that will come to him on the last day and they'll say, Master, we healed the sick. Amen. Master, we chased out demons. And you know, remember what Jesus said he's going to say? He says, he'll say, go away, you doers of iniquity. And the word that scares me the most, coming from the mouth of Jesus, says, I never knew you. Now, if we are to say we are finishing strong, not only in 2022, but finishing strong in our faith, we have got to have the commendation of Jesus. Jesus has got to approve of our faith. Whatever we do, we don't need to be entertaining one another. We don't need to be behaving just because other people are watching us. We need to be mindful that the maker and the giver of our life is the one who is going to give the final word and the final say. Always sing this song. Use the song to sing about our issues. Or when we are going through stuff. But today, let me tell you that Jesus has a final say, even in your life. So when you're singing next time, remind yourself that God has a final say upon whatever I do, upon my faith, upon my journey as a Christian. Jehovah has a final say. Most of the time when we come to church,
We feel good when we are preaching and when somebody is praying and leading prayer about breakthrough, about you shall prosper, about you shall do this. But we forget the fundamentals. We need to strive and fight for the master's commendation. What shall benefit a man if he gains the whole world? If he gains everything he desires? If he heals the sick and casts out demons, but in the end lose his own soul? Of what benefit is that? Amen. We need to major in the majors, not major in the minors. Amen. Lastly, on Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your words be gilded and your lamps let them be burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Amen. Without delay. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Verse 38 says, and if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, or find them blessed, and find them blessed, so blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, you would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is surely coming at an hour you and I do not expect. What Jesus is saying here is that we have got to be always ready. And he's telling us that how many of you have had your stuff stolen in the car or at your house? What can happen to us or at least here? Okay? So you understand what I want to say and what Jesus is saying. And to the rest of us. Jesus is saying, if you knew the hour the robber or the thief would come to you, you would have watched carefully. You would have stood by your car and not enter Gateway Mall or Shoplight, waiting for that thief to come. Because you would have seen that in 5 minutes' time, he's surely going to show up. Tonetana, he's going to find me here. You never knew. Instead, you went to bed, and they came and broke into your house and stole. And sometimes when you woke up in the morning, like in our case, when we woke up in the morning, we realized that people came in the house. They took the TV, and they took yoga for the kids. Had a party in our kitchen and took a 5 liter of cooking oil so that we can start on so they go home. We never knew. If we had an idea that the thief was coming that night, all of us would have been giving each other shifts to sleep. Say, you sleep for 5 minutes and then I'll sleep for 10 and then you come and watch. So Jesus is saying, be careful, because even I don't have an idea of when I'm going to show up. And just like the five foolish virgins who had no idea of what hour the bride is going to show up, and they had their oil in their lamps run out, Jesus is warning us to say we need to be ready all the time. So finishing strong also means to be ever prepared, always on guard, and always watching, ready for the master's coming. As we are finishing 2022, how ready are you? Not for the miracles, but for the master's coming. How prepared are you for his coming? For he's surely gonna show up. Amen. So I wanted to share you these fundamentals before we enter into prayer, so that you have an opportunity to look and reflect upon your life. We have moved to 2022 from January to now, solely riding on the grace and the message of God. Some of us have fallen, not once or twice, but because he's a God of mercies, so many times. But we need to watch. We need to stand guard.
Let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians. That's going to be our main basis, even as we pray and transition to the church. We can pray for breakthrough. We can declare healing upon you. But if you miss these fundamentals, if your life is not in alignment with the word of God, then everything we need to pray here, everything that we can break and unmount and destroy here, will be nothing. Amen. Let's go back to what Paul says. Is speaking to our brother Timothy. Let's begin from the 6th. It says, "For I am already being poured as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." It's like Paul knows that I have a little time left to live on earth. I am about to go, and he's warning Timothy to say, "I'm already poured out as a drink, but I know that although I am suffering, my departure to the Father is near, is very close." Signing off and telling Timothy from verse 7 that, Paul, I have fought the good fight. Amen.
I have fought the good fight. Meaning that not all the fights are actually necessary. Not all the fights are actually supposed to be fought. But Paul knows what he's saying. He says, "Me, as for me, speaking for myself, I have fought a good fight and have finished the rest."
Amen. What Paul is saying to Timothy, to all of us, is that in that verse, just leave that verse there. In that verse, that our life, whether we like it or not, is a battlefield. It's a battlefield.
And Paul is saying,
"Fight the good fight." So whether you like it, whether you like this fight or you don't like it, that your life, my life, is a battlefield.
In fact, Paul says, we are actually not wrestling against flesh and blood. In this battleground, our battle is not against our neighbor. Our battle is not against our husband or our wife, because sometimes we can be naughty as husbands and wives,
to the extent that you would think that this demon, why did the Lord allow me to to be living together with this person?
But you are fighting the long fight. The fight that we are fighting is not against flesh and blood.
It is the fight against rulers,
meaning they are principalities. They are kingdoms that are ruling in places that your eyes cannot see. Amen.
We don't fight against flesh and blood. But the good news is our God is supreme. Amen. Nothing happens under his watch and he says, "Oh no, I missed that one. I missed that memo. I didn't say it." That's not our God.
But life is not only just a battleground. As we're learning from this verse, Paul is also saying and giving us the other side of the coin of life, that life is also a race. Amen. And you already pointed this in the book of 1 Corinthians, that in a race, this is what you should expect. So he says, life is both a race and a battleground.
Amen. I want to assure you that God has been training all of us from January to now. God has been equipping you, has been equipping us as warriors who are ready for the battle, as warriors who are ready to fight.
But also what God has been doing, he's been equipping his people here
to be athletes who are ready for the battle. So you need to ask God for wisdom, because there are some things that you're going through that you're not supposed to fight. And there are some things that you're going through that you need to act as an athlete. You need to run. That's why Isaiah says, they shall run and they will not get tired. God needs to give you wisdom to say, what I'm going through right now, I don't need to fight. It's not all the time that you need to be fighting. It's not all the time that you need to be binding and destroying. What we love the most, amen. God needs to give you wisdom. Say, Father, give me wisdom and insight. What gear should I use at this hour? Should I engage as an athlete or should I engage as a warrior? So wisdom is paramount. Now, the tricky part of it is that there are some of people here that we always want life to be a battleground alone. We always want to be binding. We always want to be fighting. Because the more we bind, the more we destroy, the more we feel like we are winning. And yet there are some people here who always want this life in their life, always to be racing, to be athletes. So sometimes you've got to stop racing and pick up on your armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and engage in that fight. And say, you disease, I stand against you by the wisdom of God and I'll fight you, I'll destroy you. Jeremiah chapter 1, when God was speaking to Jeremiah and says, I'm giving you authority now to uproot. Amen? To destroy. And after he had done all the destroying, he taught him to say, now you can start planting. Because many other times we have bound, we have destroyed, and we ended up just destroying, bringing things down, and we left the presence of God. And we didn't even put things in order. That's why I'm saying wisdom is paramount. Amen? And because of that kind of mentality, if we were in 2021, I would have followed Pastor McDuffel's words that because of lack of maturity, that was the word he was using. Because of lack of maturity, some people would want to associate with the battles of life alone or the race part of life alone. And the danger of that is that when you come to church like this and in your mind, all you see are battles, okay? When you see somebody giving you a handshake, you're like, okay, maybe there's a demon. Maybe there's something he wants to pass on to me. Because of that mentality, we come here and we begin to choose what we want to hear. We come here and we begin to choose who we want to listen to. Because we are not mature enough, we are not wise enough to discern what God is saying. And God has been speaking here several things, aiming at equipping you in all things to make sure that you are fully aware of what you're supposed to do. So when you come in the presence of God, I want you to challenge you. But when you come here, when you come in the presence of God, tremble like Moses. Whom when God says, remove your shoes, he had to remove. He says, the place you're standing is impossible. So when you come in his presence, you don't have any freedom to choose. You don't have any choice to say, I'm going to choose that food on the menu. You haven't come to Latitude 13. This is not Four Seasons. When you come in the presence of God, you have no option to choose as if you're in a restaurant. You are in the presence of God. Allow God to speak to you the things he wants you to hear. Permit him to speak to you the things that he himself wants you to hear. Amen. Many of us have missed the direction and the voice of God because of the vessel that God is using at that particular time. We forget we are not at the end of the We are in the presence of God. Actually, hear that. Presence of God. So allow God to deal with you the way he wants to deal with you. Since he finished the rest, I have kept the faith. Because in you, whatever God starts, he always finishes. And that's what he wants you to do. But what you finish, what you started in life, he wants to finish it. That's why I came here to tell you this morning. Whatever you started, God is still waiting for you to finish. Whatever it is, spiritual or physical, there are some of us who had a lot of promises. I don't know who started this tradition. Building resolutions at the beginning of the year.
And then surely by April, or May, June, we have thrown away all the resolutions. And we go back to the Z settings. And we are operating as if we are headless chickens. Or as I like to put it, atoms who just move the way they love, haphazardly, hitting the walls and without any direction. Paul says, I have finished this race. So in this race, when you entered into the family of God, there is no quitting. There is no running away. In fact, hear this, that God, remember what God did to his son when Jesus was about to quit? When he actually prayed, actually made this a prayer that, God, I want to quit. I'm no longer continuing in this deal. I want out. And what did God say? He looked aside. He didn't even say a word. If he did that to his own son, who are you? What is you to think that you can quit? You've got to finish the race. So whatever you are doing, whether you are acting foolishly or you are acting outside of the word of God, but here is the word of God for you. You've got to finish the race. And we are not permitting anybody to quit. There's no running away. Amen. He will not spare you. So if you run away from the fire yesterday, that fire is postponed for you. Because you need to go through that fire so that you can be built up. Amen. So that you can be built up, you can be prepared. If you run away from the waters are still waiting for you one day. They will come. Because it's part of the race. Paul says, I've kept the faith. At the end of the race, there is something you need to keep. There is something you must keep. And that is the faith. Amen. Our faith in Jesus. Our being in Christ. Not trusting on horses as you are running this race. Because there are some people who, when they're running in the race, they use drugs, they cheat, use so many methods to make sure they still win. Paul is saying, this fight I was fighting was a good fight. Fair and square, I have won. And I have finished the race. That's what God is expecting upon us. God wants you to finish strong, no matter what. No matter what you're going through, you are going to cling on to the faith. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, his plans upon you are good. And when he's thinking about you, he thinks about thoughts of good and of hope. And to take away anything evil from you. And his plans are to make sure that you finish victoriously, you overcome, that you conquer in the name of Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through or whatever things are happening in your life. He wants you to make sure that you are still going through the battle and going to the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as I'm finishing reading this verse, I'm going to ask you to stand so we can begin to pray. And the prayers that we're going to pray today are actually declarations to help you to tap into that grace so that you can finish well, so that you can finish strong. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. This is our brother Paul again. And Paul is saying, we as Christians, as believers, who are striving to keep this faith, this is what Paul is saying. We are hard pressed on every side. Amen. And this might be you speaking about yourself in Wonder Woman 2. That you have been pressured on every side. You have been hedged in. But you should know this, that you are not Christ. He says, we are oftentimes perplexed, unsure of finding a way out in our situations.
But the good news is that we are not in despair.
And sometimes we are hunted down. We are persecuted.
But the good news is that God will not desert us. He will not leave us. We are not standing now. He says we are struck down, but we are never destroyed. It's possible that in this 2022, you went through stuff, you've been going through stuff. And you're saying to yourself that I have indeed been pressured. Even right now, I am pressured, all right, every son. The pressures of life are actually exerted on me so heavily. The Bible says, you will not be crushed. The Lord will not permit that you be crushed. You could be perplexed right now. You could be unsure of finding a way out in your situation. Maybe your children's school fees is giving you a headache. Now they have closed, eh? And they'll be opening soon, in 2 weeks' time. Maybe it's rent. Maybe it's a job that you've been looking for. Maybe it's a child you've been praying for. Maybe it's just new opportunity, that new door for you to open. But the Bible says, even in that time where you are unsure of finding your way out in your situation, you are not in despair. Trouble and storms and problems may crush you, may come hunting for you, may come looking and baying for your blood. People might speak lies about you. Everything might happen and to the negative, everything might just be happening and just pushing you down. But the Bible says, you are not alone. You are not abandoned. Maybe you are actually struck down. But you should know this, that you will never be destroyed. If you go to the verse, to the same chapter, verse 16 to 18, which I'm going to read, Paul is saying, therefore, we do not become discouraged. I want you to encourage yourself this morning. Whatever issues that have happened in 2022, leave them in the hands of God. You are going to finish well. Because we already read in Deuteronomy that God watches over the year even as it begins, to the end of the year. Amen? It says, therefore, we do not become discouraged or disappointed, or we do not become afraid. Though our outer self is wasting away, your inner man is being renewed day by day. And it is my prayer this morning that God will renew the inner man. That God will give you strength. For our momentarily light distress, this passing trouble is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Beyond all measure. Beyond all comparison. What Paul is saying on verse 17 is that what you're going through right now is meant to build you up. It's meant to give you strength. It's meant for you to look back and say, there was a year called 2022. It taught me a lesson. Without 2022, I wouldn't have been built up as a professional that I am. Verse 18 says, so, we look not at the things which are seen. Do not look at your troubles right now. Do not look at the disappointments you're going through right now. When you were starting that job, you had so many expectations. But Paul is saying, do not look at the things you can see with your eyes, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are only temporary. They are here today, tomorrow they are no longer. Just a brief and a fleeting thing. But the things which are invisible are everlasting. The things which are invisible are imperishable. They cannot decay. I want you to fix your eyes on the Lord. And say, Father, as I pray this one, I'm fixing my eyes on the Lord. For over 480 years, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 and 41, for over 430 years, the people of Israel were languishing in bondage, in captivity, in Egypt. 430. They cried out, looking for the day the Lord will come and save them. But it took only about 24 hours when the Lord performed that last miracle and they were out of it. God finally turned their captivity and gave them rest. He gave them freedom.
It didn't matter how long they suffered. It doesn't matter how long you've been oppressed. It doesn't matter how long that disease has been lingering in your system. It's possible that the past 11 months and the 2 weeks in 2022, you've been wandering in captivity. You've been wandering in wilderness. You've been wandering in the wilderness of joblessness, in the wilderness of financial captivity, in barrenness. But God can tame your captivity even now. He can tame your captivity to freedom for the next remaining 14 days. Remember when the children of Israel were out of Egypt, whatever they did, it was a sermon I preached the other day. They wandered for 40 days, for 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. But it only took them, it took God only about 3 days to make them to cross over to their promised land. When God decides to look at you, it doesn't matter how long you've been held captive. When God decides to favor you, it doesn't matter how long you've waited. It took 7 days for the walls of Jericho to fall down. God gave them an instruction, say, march around it silently for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I will give my servant an instruction to shout. And when they shout, it is when I'm going to bring the walls of Jericho down. It took about 3 days for Jesus to visit from the dead. 4 days for Lazarus. Actually, the Bible says he had already started decaying, stinking even. To the extent when Lazarus was out of that grave, Jesus had to take a handkerchief, this is now me, and put on his mouth, because Lazarus was stinking. Amen. It's not in the Bible, lest you find, you go there and say he was not preaching the word of God. But the Bible says he was producing a bad smell. And Jesus had to say, please cut him loose, he's alive. 4 days in the day in the land of the dead. But Jesus had to bring you. God can take you out of your situation. I don't know for how long, but I believe he can take you out of your situation. You are not going out of this year empty-handed.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.